Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Thanks for joining us on the Authentic Church Podcast. Let's jump right into this week's message.
I have been trying to process just everything that the Lord has been doing in this house. It has been supernatural. Okay, over the last 2 months, did you know that we have been able to baptize 88 people into the kingdom of heaven? 88 people have been baptized into the kingdom of heaven, and today we get to baptize around 15 to 17 new believers and those rededicating their lives. So just hallelujah. Can we give God some praise? These are supernatural things that are happening, and as you can tell, our family is growing, and so I want to give you guys a BTI update. And if you're asking what BTI stands for, it means believe the impossible. And we believe the impossible, and we believe that there's a new home for us because we need more room, clearly, in the lobby. Thank you guys for sitting out in the lobby and being part of this church and not just leaving. We want you to know that you are family here. And I want to share with you just how much we've been able to raise, okay? So right now with the Believe the Impossible Fund, we have raised around $587,000, almost up to $600,000. Once we hit $600,000, we only need $150,000 more to complete our first phase. Already. So I want to say thank you for your faithful giving, for you believing in this church, for feeling like family. For your faithful giving, even online and serving this church online, it means the world to us. God has spoken a promise, and his promise is that he's going to use this church to change the city of Hickory. And we're going to see people's lives changed already with the night of worship. We're not even in the building. We're seeing an impact of the Lord. Over 2,000 people came that day. In fact, 67 baptisms took place that night. In that area. And so God has new plans. He's doing a new thing and he's using us. And I'm so excited to be part of his kingdom. God is so exciting. Like whoever said following the Bible is boring, listen, you're boring, okay? Because following God is so exciting. And if you weren't here last week, like I said, it was a little bit different. I was preaching from the screen, but we started a brand new series titled Scars and Band-Aids. And the vision behind this series is to teach you how to let your heart heal from past wounds, from past relationship damage, from past friendships that didn't work out, from the past family drama and trauma that you went through. How to see healing over your heart, because did you know that God sets you apart from the rest of the world? Like the moment you declared Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God said, okay, I made you holy. You didn't make yourself holy, but because you called the name of Jesus, Jesus made you holy and he sets you apart. But what I'm seeing when it comes to believers is that we're living in freedom in a lot of areas of our life, but when it comes to our relationships, we look just like the world. We're living just like the world. Our relationships look no different. We're hurting people and they're hurting us. And for a lot of us, because you do not want to be lonely, you jump from one relationship to another relationship, one relationship to another relationship, and you just slap a Band-Aid on the wound. On your heart that's been hurt by people over and over again. If your wound is infected and dirty and you put a Band-Aid on it, what happens? The wound becomes worse. It becomes more infected. Why? Because the wound can't breathe. That's what happens to you. And so if you won't do it with the wound, why are you doing it with your heart? Why are you allowing people into your life that are hurting you and chasing the wrong things that will not satisfy you? Some of you are so broken, but instead of chasing the presence of God, you're chasing a position. You're chasing a status. You're chasing a relationship just to be brokenhearted again. And God wants to save and help and heal your broken hearts. I want you to hear the words of King David. King David was repenting to the Lord over his adultery that he committed with Bathsheba. But I want you to hear his words, because what I want to mention to you today is that God actually wants to cleanse and wash your heart. Cleanse it from the past mistakes. Psalms chapter 51, verse 7 through 10, David said, "Purify me of my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me my joy again." Can you relate to that? God, there's been so much pain in my life, I don't know what it's like to experience joy anymore. But joy, listen to me, is a spiritual need. It comes from the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, I can give you a joy and I can give you a peace that this world cannot give you and the devil cannot take it away. But again, we're chasing the wrong things. And so David understood that joy comes from the Lord. God, give me my joy. Give me joy again. For he said, listen to this wording, you have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Why would David tell the Lord, you have broken me? Because this is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. David had to be broken in order to be made whole. Your heart has to be broken in order to understand that you need healing. You have to go through pain at times. You have to go through suffering. You have to go through trials to understand just how good God is. Because if you got everything you wanted, what would you be like? A spoiled little kid. Any parents in the room? You ever had a kid come up to you and say, Daddy, I want this and I want it now. Like, who are you? You don't pay bills. And by the way, if you keep talking to me like that, you're not even going to live here, you know, over the next week. All right. We become spoiled sometimes with God, even in our older age. God, I want it. I want the relationship. I want the position. I want these things. And God's like, when's the last time you wanted me? When's the last time you wanted my presence? When's the last time you wanted a word from me? You just seem to want the things, the blessings, but you forget that I'm the creator of the blessings. I'm the ones that give you these things and take it away. We have to be broken. And so David said, you have broken me. Now let me rejoice. And then he said, don't keep looking at my sins, God. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me, listen to this, a clean heart. Wash my heart from the past, oh God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. David was stating, God, I have stained my heart because of my sin. Because of the wrong things that I chased, the wrong relationship that I didn't want to listen to you about, God. I've stained my heart. But God, I believe by faith that you can cleanse me. You can wash my heart and change me today. That truth is still for you today. By the name of Jesus, no matter what you have done in your past, no matter how many mistakes you have made, you can run to Jesus today and he will wash your heart and cleanse you today. Because of the price that he paid upon the cross. We have open wounds that we need to be cleaned by God. But lately I've had some difficult conversations. And this is why this message kind of feels a little heavier today, because the conversations I've been having with people lately have not been over the open wounds, they've been over the scars instead. The deep scars, the past mistakes, the things that somebody else did to you a long time ago, but you haven't really healed from it and you try to hide it. Because that's what we do with scars, don't we? We try to hide it, we try to cover it up so that nobody knows, nobody sees the pain in your life, but God sees it. And God understands. And for some of you right now, listen, your past mistakes have become your identity. You're still living it out in your mind, even though that's not you today. You're still remembering the things that you said and the way you treated those people, the mistakes that you made, that you gave into that temptation. And now that's become your identity. And you start to believe the devil when he says, you can never be used by God. God can't use somebody like you. You made too many mistakes because your mistakes have become your identity. But I'm here to tell you today that your identity is not in your mistakes. It's in Jesus. Again, Jesus has washed you and cleansed your heart. But the second thing is this. A lot of us are struggling with abandonment issues. I've had some conversations lately where people are telling me, listen, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that everybody I love is going to leave me. And so right now, maybe you're in a relationship and you're becoming too clingy because you're clinging on to the wrong things to bring healing into your life. Maybe, listen, you're so afraid of abandonment because your spouse left you and you didn't see it coming. Or that relationship failed. Or listen, maybe your mother and your father, who was supposed to be in your life, supposed to be helping you, supposed to be guiding you and protecting you, didn't protect you. In fact, they hurt you. In a way that you would never want to speak of. Because deep down inside, there's a scar there. How do you heal from something like that? The third thing that the Lord spoke to me is that there's people in this room and watching online that are struggling with loneliness. In fact, sometimes you can experience loneliness for doing the right thing. Did you know that? Maybe you gave your life over to Jesus and you're like, all right, Jesus, here I am. But nobody came with you. And now you feel alone. But again, the Holy Spirit is with you and he brings comfort. And so maybe you're asking, Pastor, I want to move forward, but I don't know how. How do I allow these scars in my life to heal when they are so deep and I keep trying to cover them up? Let me say this loud and clear. It's a choice. You have to choose to bring your scars over to Jesus. You have to choose. He's not going to force you to do it. But you have to choose to bring your scars over to Jesus. Listen to this wording right here. Psalms chapter 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted. Who heals the brokenhearted? Jesus. Not your relationships. Not even the friendships. Not the possessions. Not the status. But he, only Jesus, can heal the brokenhearted. And he binds up their wounds, healing their pain and comforting their sorrow. See, the devil will lie to you. He's a counterfeit. And he will tell you, instead of getting healing, instead of being clean, go to the bottle instead and numb your pain. Go ahead and get drunk. Take these things in your life. At least you'll feel good. And the moment then when you think about it again, numb yourself again. And a lot of us are in this toxic pattern. Jesus is saying, listen, I can heal your broken heart. I can cleanse you. I can help you. The truth is, listen, the reason why I said it like this is because I have realized that full healing from God over your heart, over your scars, is a choice. Did you know that? Full healing from God is a choice. You can choose to release your pain to Jesus, or listen, you can choose to remain in your pain. I've met so many people when I speak the promises of God over them, and they're like, I don't know about that, Pastor. I don't know if I believe in love anymore. Look at this culture today. Look at all these relationships that fail. I just don't believe it anymore. Guess what? You're searching for it, right? You're not believing in the promises of God and what he has for you. And listen, when you say, I don't believe in love, that's a very dangerous thing to say because God is love. And so pretty much you're speaking out over your life that you're not going to receive the love of God. God is love. And he has wonderful relationships for you to bless your life. But listen, what you speak out for, what you're looking for, is eventually what you'll have in your life. You're seeking these things. You're speaking about these things, right? And that's what you're going to find in your life. What you choose to look for is what you will find. So instead, when I look at the Bible and I see God get into the mix, I see his promises. And I choose to believe his promises instead of the lies. I choose to believe what God has spoken over me instead of my own doubt, instead of my own flesh, instead of what people said about me. Listen to what God says. Psalms 27, verse 10. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. For some of you right now, that just ministered to you. The word of the Lord, because you know what it was like to be abandoned. But God says, I'm always with you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm always going to hold your hand. When they come after you, guess what? I will be there to protect you. I will bring clarity into your life because that's why the Holy Spirit is here. And he's the comforter. He's the advocate. He brings power into your life. He's speaking to you. You're never alone. My Jesus said this in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Listen to this. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to heal those that have fallen apart, those that their lives feel like you're in pieces right now. Jesus understands, but some of you are saying, but I'm too scarred. Like, I'm way too scarred to be in the presence of God. Jesus was scarred too. And Jesus was scarred for you to save you. In fact, he said, place your finger in my hand. Look at my scars. I'm not ashamed to show you my scars because this is my love for you. Jesus paid the price upon the cross to show you his scars so that yours from the past can be healed. By his scars, by his stripes, we are healed. But it's a choice. In fact, I saw this. This is very interesting to me. Jesus spoke these words to a man that was ill for 38 years. He had been in a condition for 38 years when he met Jesus. Listen to what Jesus said, because I believe Jesus is speaking this to you today. John chapter 5, verse 6. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time, he had been hurting for a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made whole? Healing through Jesus is a choice. So Jesus is speaking to you today. Do you want your heart to be healed? Or do you want to stay in that trauma? Do you want to stay in that drama? Do you want to stay in that depression? It's time to speak something different over your life. instead of the doubts and the lies, and start believing the word of God instead. He loves you and he still sees value in your life. And some of you, it seems like the devil has robbed your value. He has not. God still sees value in you. So the title of today's message is Deep Scars. Deep Scars. How do we move past deep scars and see the Lord work in our life? And I gotta be honest with you, as I was praying over this message, I automatically assumed that I might preach to you about David, about Joseph, even about Moses, talking about deep scars and relationships. But then the Lord brought my attention to somebody I wasn't thinking about. His name is Paul. And you ever just argued with the Lord and look kind of crazy on the outside? I'm like, God, why do you want me to speak about Paul? Paul was single. Paul was in a relationship, but God revealed to me, yes, but he knows what it's like to be lonely. He knows what it's like to be abandoned. And he's the perfect person to look at his past and see the scars. He's the perfect person to examine his past and look at his scars, those scars that have been there for a long time, those scars that he used to be ashamed of, but yet God transformed him. And in fact, I believe if Paul was here today, he would state to you, God is not done with you. So do not disqualify yourself because of your past mistakes, because of what you did or somebody else did to you. So y'all ready for some points today? All right, let's go ahead and dive into the scripture. Point number one is this, though. Let's change our perspective here. Let your past scars remind you of grace, not your mistakes. Let your past scars remind you of God's grace, not your mistakes. The first time we see Paul is out of the book of Acts, okay? And he's known as Saul. Now, let me just clarify this really quick. Saul's name was Saul in Hebrew, and then later we see his name changed to Paul because in it was his Roman name. And so we see him change his name from Saul to Paul because Paul was preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, and I believe that the Gentiles accepted him more knowing that he had a Roman name. But again, Saul is Paul. And so I just want to clarify that really quick, just to not make it confusing. I'm just going to call him Paul. But we clearly see in the beginning that Paul had a heart problem. Why? Because a man named Stephen was being stoned to death for following Jesus. And we talked about him not that long ago. Remember, he was praising Jesus, doing miraculous things, and they came to stone him to death. And so he spoke over them, God, take them out. God, hurt them. Sorry, that's not what Stephen said. Stephen said, Lord, forgive them. Forgive them even as they're stoning me to death at this very moment. See, God will always give you strength to forgive those that are hurting you at this very moment. You could always look up to the sky because again, Stephen kept his eyes upon Jesus and he saw the glory of God. But at the same time, the Bible mentions somebody else in Acts chapter 8. Somebody else was there and he had a heart issue and he wanted to see Stephen condemned and killed, and his name was Saul. So let's look at Paul here. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. It says that Saul wholeheartedly approved of Stephen's death. Listen to the wording there. He wholeheartedly approved of Stephen's death. And on that day, a great and relentless persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And the believers were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. And automatically, when we read the word scattered, we assume that that means that they ran and hid. But to my surprise, when you look it up in the Greek, it actually means that they were sowing seeds. They scattered to sow seeds of the gospel all around. So even though there was persecution in the church was growing, meaning the devil can't stop your purpose. Every time he comes with persecution to try to hurt you, to try to stop you, God's church continues to grow. God will use you to reach more and more. So guess what? Rejoice when you're being attacked. Rejoice when people come after you because the church continues to grow and more people are being reached. See, there were people here that were staying put until persecution came. Then the gospel started to share all around the regions. But Paul, looking at his past, Paul was hurting the people that he would soon learn to love. Have you been there? That's a hard one to move forward from. You've hurt the people that now you love because you used to be somebody different. You used to not be able to control your mouth. And so you would speak things, maybe in your marriage, maybe in your relationships, maybe to your friendships, and you would speak negativity and condemn them and hurt them. And God has changed your heart. And so when you think of those things, it's really difficult to look back at. Listen, Paul understands how you feel. He understands, looking at his past, realizing that he was hurting the people that now he loves and wants to protect. Verse 3, but Saul began ravaging the church. Paul's mission was to hurt the church. Listen to that. His mission was to hurt the church and hurt the believers of the church because he was so angry at what was happening. So he started to assault the believers, entering house after house and dragging off men and women, putting them in prison. He was breaking into homes, taking the men and women, these fathers and these mothers from their children, putting them in prison because he was so angry that they kept pursuing the Lord. He didn't understand. He was hurting the people that he would soon learn to love. See, this is what happens when we follow our heart. I said it last week, I'm gonna say it again. Disney lied to you. Following your heart is not always the best thing for you because your heart can desire the wrong things, the wrong relationships. Sometimes you think you're right, but you're not. You're not even close. And so you gotta be in the presence of God to hear his voice. Listen to this, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things, desperately wicked, meaning we want for ourselves. We're selfish by nature. Who really knows how bad it is? God does. God knows how bad it is. And your heart, listen to this warning, can deceive you to hurt everything that God has for you. Your heart can actually deceive you to hurt everything that God has for you because we start to listen to the lies so much that sometimes we believe we're right and God's wrong. Well, I can be in this relationship no matter what. I can pursue this position no matter what. This is what I want to do, God, and this is my desires. But yet the Bible was very clear that your desires will wage war against the desires of the Holy Spirit. Because everything that you want right now can also crush your soul, kill your soul, break your heart. It's dangerous to believe that you're right when you're actually wrong. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2, all the ways of man are clean and innocent. Now listen to this, in his own eyes. And he may see nothing wrong with his actions, but the Lord weighs and examines his motives and his intent of his heart. The Lord knows the truth on the inside. And I'm looking at the past here of Paul. And I need you to see that he was full of anger and violence. And lately, I've been noticing just our culture becoming more aggressive. More people are upset. More people are hurt. Like, have you ever just walked somewhere and you saw somebody and you're like, hey, and they're like, don't talk to me. Like, what happened to you? Like, you know, like, I'll pray for you over here, you know, like, but I'm noticing more and more people are walking with their chest poked out, like, don't talk to me. I don't trust people. I don't trust you. I'm already hurt and I will hurt you. People are ready for a fight. We live in a culture today where more people are filming the fights and laughing at the fight. So this is funny when people are getting hurt and devastated. And then it goes viral to mock these people. And what happens when you're hurt and you don't give it over to the Lord? Hurt people love to hurt people. That's the culture we live in. That's not from God. That's from the enemy. That's from our flesh. Again, we're meant to be different. We're meant to be set apart. We're meant to be holy. So when people hurt you, show them love. I know it's hard. It's hard. Especially what they said about you. But you can't become like them. Because if you say the same things that they said about you, guess what? You become just like them. You start allowing the same demons into your own life. In fact, sometimes when people call you names and they're so angry at you, what you're getting a glimpse of are the demons on the inside. The hurt that's on the inside of them, because being a pastor for a long time, I've realized that a lot of people hurt people because a long time ago they were hurt. So they put up walls and they push people around. And so my question for you today is, are you being led by the spirit of anger instead of the spirit of God? Because there is a major difference. Just because you have scars in your past that you have not allowed God to heal, do people know you and know that when they come around you, they can't say that one thing? They can't tell you the truth because your anger might pop off. Don't tell him that, he might hurt somebody. Don't tell her that because she may yell at somebody and you're just bullying people or making people afraid of you. Does it make you feel strong? feel better about yourself. It's a lie. And God knows. And God knows the anger that's in your heart, and he understands where it comes from. But I'm telling you today, he can also free you from it. Because that spirit does not come from God. It comes from your own flesh, listen, enticed by the devil. Listen to this, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. Don't sin by letting, listen to the wording here, your anger control you. Your anger wants to control your mouth. Your anger wants to control your fist and everything that you do. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Why? For anger gives a foothold to the devil. Meaning the devil wants to grab a hold of you, grab a hold of your thoughts with intrusive thoughts on how you think about people. They hurt you. It's an open door to hurt them back. They said something about you. Let me give you some ideas to hurt them back. It's so easy to listen to the lies of the devil and God saying, listen, you got to protect your heart from this. It's a sickness. And it will kill you and it will hurt you. Anger, rage, hurtful words will kill your relationships. Will kill everything that God has for you. The same warning was given to Cain about his relationship with his own brother, Abel. Listen to this. Listen to the wording here. Genesis chapter 4, verse 6. The Lord asked Cain, why are you so angry? Why does your face look sad? You know that if you do what is right, I will accept you. But if you don't, listen, sin is ready to attack you. Why was Cain so mad at Abel? Because Abel was giving to the Lord. That's crazy to me. Cain was holding back for himself, yet he was jealous of his brother Abel. Why? Because Abel gave to the Lord and trusted the Lord. I've been there in my past. That used to be me. I used to be mad at people that were able just to give freely because I had a hard time with that. And there were a lot of things in my life that I trusted the Lord with. And the Holy Spirit convicted me. How come you'll trust me to move and do all these incredible things, but you won't trust me with your money? You won't trust me with your fruits? Who gives you what you have today? What it does, it creates a bitterness on the inside. Have you seen somebody living for the Lord and they're being blessed in certain ways that you want for yourself, but you're running from the Lord? But what happens? You get mad at them. You get angry. This is our anger knocking at the door saying, let me in. God says, be careful of that. And so God says, listen, this will free you from anger. Just do what is right. Just obey. Just walk in obedience. Listen to my word. I've already accepted you and I will accept you and I'll protect you from the spirit that wants to get inside of you. Because listen, this sin will control you. Genesis 4, chapter 6, verse 6. This sin will control you, but you must control it. Did Cain listen? He didn't listen to God. So he killed his relationship with his brother and he never got it back. How many relationships within your family have you killed because of anger and jealousy? Because you don't get along. Have you ever said, I don't want to be near them again? It's your own brother. It's your own sister. And I get it. There's hurt. We've all been through it. But what if the Lord's going to use you to change your family and to stop a generational curse? And maybe you're saying, Pastor, I want to move past this, but I don't know how. How do I get past my anger? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness. Rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. You can't do that yourself, by the way. You can't just create a checklist and say, okay, my anger's gone. My bitterness gone. I'm going to love this person now. No. What do you have to do? You have to battle this on the inside and say, all right, God, here's my heart. It's in pieces. But for God to heal your broken heart, you have to give him all the pieces. So he sees the bitterness. He sees the rage. He sees that one little piece that you're holding back and he says, give it to me too. That's the only way that you can put them away. Give them over to the Lord. And instead it says, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. See, we see the fruits of the Holy Spirit come into our life when we submit all the rage to God And all of a sudden now we have peace, joy, love, patience, kindness. Listen to this, self-control. And I love that because the Holy Spirit shows up when you want to say that one thing and the Holy Spirit's like, mm-mm. You messed it up last time. Don't mess this one up, okay? Don't do that. Don't be your old self. God has given you a new life. That's why we celebrate baptisms. The old you is dead. And you come alive in Jesus Christ. You're not who you used to be. Your sins are washed. Your past is forgiven. So be made new and live in that freedom that God has offered you. See, when I look at Paul's past, he was controlled and he was consumed by anger. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath. Can you imagine? Every word that he spoke was to condemn the people of God. Maybe right now you know somebody like that in your own life. Maybe that's your father. Your earthly dad, he never spoke anything good of you. Every breath that he took, he spoke to condemn you, to hurt you, to take you out. And maybe that's why it's so hard right now to run over to the Lord. But I need you to know that we serve a good father. And he will actually wash you by his word and cleanse you. But Saul was uttering threats with every breath, and he was eager. Listen to the wording here. He was eager to kill the Lord's followers. He was eager to hurt the people of God. There was so much anger in his heart. He wanted to attack the church. Let me just find somebody to take out. He thought he was right when he was wrong. He went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation and the arrest of the followers of the way. So before we became known as Christians, we were known as the followers of the way. I like that. The people of the way. But what did he want to do? He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. How many people have you put in chains because of your anger? They can't trust you. And they can't have open communication with you. I said this last week, but without open communication, there's only manipulation. And when people feel like they can't be open with you because you may get angry, they're not gonna talk to you, they're gonna talk to somebody else. And I've seen too many marriages fall apart because of anger issues, because they trusted somebody else and went a different way. I'm looking at this, and I see that even though Paul was going the wrong direction, listen, Paul wasn't looking for Jesus, but Jesus was looking for Paul. Maybe right now you're going the wrong direction because you want to do what you want to do, but still, let me tell you this, Jesus is going to show up. And I'm so excited about it. Because he's going to show up in your life when you think you got it all figured out. When you think that you're going the right direction and Jesus is gonna show you what it means to follow him, what it means to be a servant, and that he has a life that is overflowing, that this world cannot offer you. He's going to heal your heart. But you gotta let Jesus turn the past scars of mistakes into scars of grace. Because that's what's happening here to Paul the moment he meets Jesus. Point number two is this. Jesus will open your eyes to see in a brand new way. Isn't that cool? Have you ever looked at your past and the relationships you were in, the things that you did and said, man, I was dumb. Like I was foolish. You can be foolish in love and you could be dumb in lust. Let me say it like that, okay? And so when we look at Paul, his old self, he put his confidence in his achievements and his position. In fact, in the book of Philippians, Paul says, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was a Pharisee. I sat under the best teachers. I had the best accomplishments. People knew who I was. I was from the tribe of Benjamin. By the way, kings come from the tribe of Benjamin. He was always flexing on the people, showing his achievements, trying to get worth from people. But because he put his confidence in himself, here it is, he was fighting with God. He was fighting to submit to the Lord, to listen to the Lord's will over his life. Because of his own intellect, he wanted to follow his mind of flesh, instead of what the Holy Spirit was speaking. Listen to this. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. In fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plans. When your mind is focused on yourself, you fight God's plans because you refuse to submit to his direction because it cannot. Your flesh does not want to submit to the Lord. Sometimes Jesus will show up and tell you no. And I said that last week as well. We don't like to be told no. But God is setting up boundaries in your life so that your heart is not constantly broken by the people you need to protect your heart from. But isn't this what we do? We fight God. Why? Because we don't want to listen. How many times have you told God, all right, God, I'm going to go my own way? And it's like a battle on the inside. You ever feel like you're being pulled apart? Like one side, all right, God, I'm getting closer to you. Now my flesh wants this. My flesh wants this. Listen, there is a battle on the inside of you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, the sinful nature wants to do evil. Your sinful nature, your flesh wants to do evil, okay? Which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what our sinful nature desires. So this means the Holy Spirit is constantly fighting with your flesh to do the right thing. Who are you going to listen to? You going to listen to yourself? How's that going for you? How'd that work out in the past, in your relationships? I just see this so many times. We get angry at God. God, my relationship didn't work. And I'm mad at you. And I believe God is speaking to us saying, you know, that relationship I told you a long time ago wouldn't work out for you? You mean that one a long, long time ago that I even sent some friends into your life? You didn't want to listen to them either. Then I sent your parents. You really didn't want to listen to them. You didn't want to listen to anybody. And all the red flags were waving. But now you're angry at me? Remember, I told you this was not for you, but you got angry at that. And so I let you go a different direction, a different path, because you cannot submit to my will. But again, the Father's arms are open wide. He says, come back to me. Sometimes God has to let us go into the world to have our heart broken to come back to him, to see that this world is not fulfilling, doesn't satisfy. But it feels like we're blind. What if we are? Let me show you something. Jesus revealed to the disciples that many people will hear the truth, but will not accept the truth. It's like it'll be preached right in front of them, but they won't get it. They won't understand. Why? Because they have closed their eyes spiritually. Listen to this wording here. Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. Their minds are dull and slow to perceive. Their ears are plugged and hard of hearing, and they have deliberately shut their eyes to the truth. See, on the outside, we come to church smiling. Some of us even come taking notes. But on the inside, God sees us like this. All right, Lord, what you got for me today? I'm ready to receive it. The Lord sees all of this. You're not seeing anything. That's exactly what the scripture is saying. That's why you're not perceiving the word of God. That's why you're not understanding what he's saying to you. They have deliberately shut their eyes to the truth. Otherwise, they would open their eyes to see, open their ears to hear, and their minds would understand, and they would turn to me, and I would heal them. Please don't miss that. Sometimes we can be so stubborn. We don't want to listen. We're distracted by everything else. And God is clearly stating, if you just run to me, I'll heal you. I'll heal you from that hurt. Over and over again, I'll heal you from your past and your mistakes. I'll heal you from that situation that nobody knows about. But I'm still here holding your hand. And I'm looking at Paul, and he put his value in his achievements. He was trying to impress people. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, the reason so many of us have scars still in our heart, not healed by Jesus, is because we're trying so hard to gain our value from people. Yet we're neglecting to see value in the presence of God. We're neglecting to see value in the presence of Jesus Christ, the only one who can really heal your broken hearts. Why are you trying so hard to prove to people when the Creator sees everything? And on that last day, the day of judgment, you won't be before people. You'll be before God. And God doesn't care about your status or position or the money you made. He's going to ask you, how were you a good and faithful servant to me? Don't run away because of people. And don't run away from your calling because people don't understand. God's still speaking new things into your life. And the Bible is clear because this is a pride issue. And unfortunately, the only way to be set free from pride is what? To fall. And unfortunately, we have to go through that at times, but God humbles us. Paul literally fell off his high horse. Acts chapter 9, verse 3. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. Now, this is very interesting to me. This is where the Bible nerd in me kind of comes out, because when I see a light of heaven, it's called the Shekinah glory a lot in the Old Testament. And we see the light of God, Jesus, the transfiguration. We see that as well. Did you know? In Acts chapter 26, verse 13, Paul says that when Jesus showed up, the light from Jesus was brighter than the sun. And it was during noon, so this was the brightest time of the sun. When Jesus showed up, he outshone the sun. He was brighter than the sun. Meaning, listen, what you have hidden in the darkness, when Jesus shows up, the light reveals it every single time. That's why when you come into the presence of Jesus, the light reveals it, but also heals you. Because now you get a chance to repent and to run to him. But sometimes we gotta fall down. And so verses 4-9, he fell down to the ground and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? When you hear that in your head, what is the character of Jesus that you hear? Is he condemning him? Is he angry? See, what I see here is that Jesus is speaking to Saul in the same way he spoke to Martha. When he called out to Martha, he said, Martha, Martha. And he was talking about her sister Mary. See, Jesus loved Martha. He loved Mary. He loved Lazarus. Jesus loved Paul. But he was an enemy of God. Or it seemed like that. And you may feel like that today, but God is still meeting you where you are, and he's calling you by name, and sometimes he does it in a gentle way, twice. And he says, now get up and go to the city, and you'll be told what you must do. You gotta listen to me now. It's time to stop trying to control your own life and do your own thing that hasn't worked out for you. It's time to listen to me. So go, move by faith. And then the men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. Saul was being humbled. The people that he once led now are leading him. That will humble you. And God did this out of grace. Why? Because Paul was leading them in the wrong direction. You better thank God that he's humbled you when you're leading people into the wrong direction. Because now it can change your heart. That's why some of you aren't ready for the position yet. That's why some of you haven't got the position that you've been praying for, because God is still working on your heart so you don't lead people the wrong way. But it's blindness. Why did Paul go blind? Represents a spiritual condition on the inside. Paul already had scales and a veil upon his heart. So God was just bringing what was inward on the surface. What would God bring out of you? What would he pull from your heart? What would people see? Would it be scales? Would it be veils? Would it be a broken heart? Hardships, pain? And the Bible reveals, listen to this, there is a spiritual covering over your heart that only Jesus can take away. Again, only Jesus, not relationships, not a position, only Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:14-17, but the people's minds were hardened. And to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same, listen to the wording here, veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by what? Believing in Jesus. Yes, even today when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil and they do not understand. And whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit. And when the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is freedom. That's why sometimes I can preach a message and I see some people like getting it. Like the veil's been removed. They get it. And they're like, man, that was a revelation for my life. Yet the person next to you is sleeping and snoring. Because sometimes our hearts can be distracted. It's like there's a veil over our eyes, over our hearts. And then we see in the story that there's a man named Ananias that in a vision from God, God says, listen, I want you to go to Saul. I want you to pray over him. Imagine Ananias. All right, Lord, let me make sure I heard you clearly. You want me to go to the man that's killing Christians, hurting Christians, and you want me to pray for him. You want me to pray over my enemy. Yes. All right, Lord, can we take like 2 weeks? What would you do if God told you to pray over your enemy? The same one that's trying to hurt you right now. See, what I love about Ananias, though, he feared the Lord more than he feared people. That's a good way to go. Because then you obey God, you don't have to obey people. You listen to the Lord first. And so he went to Paul and he prays over him. And then listen to this, verses 17 through 19. Ananias went and found Saul, laid his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you may regain your sight. But now in a better way, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. He regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. God had spoken to both of them. This is what's amazing to me. Even though Ananias was scared to move by faith, God had already revealed to Paul, hey, somebody's coming and they're praying over you. Years ago in Louisiana, when Authentic was an evangelistic ministry, we prayed one night. And my wife saw in her prayer that there was a man in a restaurant we needed to pray over. And so she goes to different restaurants. She didn't find him. And I know this sounds a little crazy, but this really happened. And then she finally goes into a McDonald's. It's the last one. We used to pray this all the time and just pray over people randomly and see what the Lord could do. And she walked into McDonald's. She saw this man by himself. And it was a group of us. And she said, "That's the man. That's the man that I saw. That's the man that I heard from the Lord." And she walks up to him. She says, "Listen, I know this sounds crazy, but can I just pray over you?" The man started to cry. The man was a pastor who had a big family. His church was falling apart. He felt like he was failing God. And he said, "I've been crying all night because I feel like I don't have anything left. And I asked God for a word. And you showed up." I'm telling you, sometimes it seems scary to pray over somebody, but you don't know what the Lord has already revealed to them. But you got to see with spiritual eyes. And so the problem with Paul is that he first was confident in his own flesh. And God knew that if he became confident only in his flesh, he would not fulfill his purpose. And so this is what I see out of the Bible, is that for a lot of us, the Holy Spirit wants to fill us. But we're blocking him by this veil in our life. It's going all around us. You hear the word, you see the truth, but you're not pursuing him. You're pursuing everything else, your achievements, what you can do, the relationships that haven't satisfied, you still feel empty on the inside. And Jesus shows up and says, "Listen, remove the veil. All of this, yet you're still empty." And you got to understand, the moment that Paul was humbled by Jesus and he prayed, that's when the Holy Spirit came upon him. And he was able to see things in a brand new way. That's what the Lord wants to do with you. Right now, that's what he wants to do in your life. Do you feel empty on the inside because you're trying to get your value from people instead of God? It's time to be set free. See things in a new way, but only Jesus can do that. And so here's my last point. Point number three is this. With Jesus, there is freedom. That's good news. See, the world's going to tell you to become more confident in yourself. "I don't need more confidence. I need more Jesus. That's how I'm going to be set free from these things." So let me ask you this question. Did Paul battle his past? Some of us have believed that if we come to Jesus, then we're not going to battle our past or think of it at times, but you're human. You're going to struggle with things. Past mistakes and situations. Listen to what Paul said about his old self. Acts 26, verse 10 and 11, and here he's giving his testimony. He said, "Indeed, I did just that in Jerusalem. Authorized by the leading priests, I caused many believers there to be sent to prison. Listen to this. I cast my vote against them that they would be condemned to death." Don't miss that. Paul said, "I cast my vote against the people of God so that they would be killed. So that they would die and be murdered. Many times I had them punished in the synagogues to get them to curse Jesus. I was so violently opposed to them that I even chased them down into foreign cities. That's who I used to be. But there's a purpose in it all. And there's a purpose for all the pain that you've been through as well. Acts 26:16-18, but then Jesus showed up. And Jesus spoke to Paul and says, I've appeared to you to appoint you to be my servant and my witness. What, Lord? Me? Like, I've hurt your people. I come against you. I made the wrong choices, the wrong decisions. I was consumed by hate and anger and violence. And I spoke away to the people you love in a way that I shouldn't have. And you want me to be your witness, your servant. And Jesus said in verse 17, yes, I'm sending you. I'm sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light. It's ironic to me that Paul's eyes had to go blind for him to be able to teach people how to see. So you have to be humbled at times to teach others how to live freely. But listen to this. Darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. Once an angry, proud man who boasted in his achievements, now is stating, I'm the least. 1 Corinthians 15:9-10. I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. We're not worthy to speak the name of Jesus. We demand so much from God, and we're not even worthy to speak his name. And it's through humility that we see the love of God and the grace of God. He's saying that I made so many mistakes. I'm not worthy to preach the gospel. I'm not worthy to share the love of God because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am today. Listen to this. And his grace toward me was not in vain. God's grace was not wasted on me. That's what he's stating. God's grace has not been wasted on you. But it's up to you to choose to give your heart over to the Lord today, and you can choose to be healed. But you can also choose to stay in that bitterness and that rage and that anger and hurt more people just like people have hurt you. And my question for you today is, are you tired? Are you tired of living that way when Jesus is stating there's a better way? You can be healed today. Your scars and mistakes can now show God's grace. I'm gonna have you stand right here. I'm gonna ask our prayer team to come up front, because let me say this too. We want to experience real freedom. Real freedom is this. Paul was not concerned about what people thought about him, but he was concerned about obeying the Lord instead. That's what he was concerned about. So what are you concerned about today? What is heavy on your heart at this moment? Freedom is also looking at the person that hurt you and no longer be bothered. How many of you need that? How many of you want that from the Lord right now? Can I pray over you, God? I pray in Jesus' name. For they have been hurt, and I don't know that hurt, but you do. Maybe it was a family member. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was a spouse. A marriage that fell apart, God. But I pray, Lord, right now, God, that they give you their hearts, that you heal their wounds, bind up their hearts and bring healing, cleanse their heart. Maybe it's past mistakes, past choices that they need to be freed from. I pray over them right now in Jesus' name.